building anything new in a city takes a long time. There are so many layers of government bureaucracy, including complex zoning and permitting rules and requirements for endless public hearings, so much so that plans often get put on hold. So across the country, people and even cities are starting to bypass some of the red tape and just build things. Residents are turning parking spaces into mini parks for a day or spray painting new bike lanes in the middle of the night. City agencies are using licensing loopholes to create temporary beer gardens and vacant lots. These are all examples of what's called tactical urbanism, an approach that favors low-cost temporary projects as a way to spark long-term change in a public space. The goal is to make a space safer or more bikeable, more walkable, more hospitable to business, or just more fun. Keystone Crossroads reporter Marielle Segarra spoke with Mike Lydon, a city planner who co-authored the book called Tactical Urbanism. He shared some examples from Pennsylvania, including the story of one project that recently got a resident of a borough near Pittsburgh in trouble.
He was very tired of speeding cars on Main Street and wanted to slow people down. So he took it upon himself to write a big, I think, 25-mile-per-hour sign on the asphalt in front of his store. And unfortunately, he was arrested. And that sort of arrest is generally pretty rare in this movement, but it does happen from time to time.
Right. I was going to ask, some examples of tactical urbanism are not only not really sanctioned by the city, but they're actually illegal. What are the reactions that cities tend to have?
They tend to freak out in the short term, to be honest. But more and more we're seeing cities see the intent behind these projects, understanding they oftentimes are consistent with adopted policies or plans. And they embrace the idea and find ways to scale them up or adopt them more formally.
In the book, you wrote that sometimes city officials actually launch these temporary low-cost projects to get around red tape within their own agencies. So that means tactical urbanism can start with the city too, right?
Yeah, that's right. We see a lot of that happening now, which is really exciting. It's a market study, so to speak. You know, it shows what uses are going to be popular and will draw people. And the best part about this is that if your project fails, you know, you haven't spent a lot of money and you haven't spent a lot of time, hopefully, right? So you've figured out what works and what doesn't work, through the kind of the scientific method, and you've just applied it to the built environment.
You also wrote in the book that tactical urbanist techniques can help a city bypass some of the NIMBYism, the affliction where every resident who shows up at a planning meeting says, not in my backyard. Can you talk more about that?
You know, in my experience as a professional planner, we've done, hundreds and hundreds of public meetings and find that there's a very similar kind of person who shows up to these meetings. They tend to be a little bit older, they tend to be wealthier, they tend to be highly educated, and they tend to be conservative about the rate of change in a neighborhood. Those voices that come out to a meeting at 6:30 on a Tuesday night do not represent, oftentimes, actually the majority of people living in a neighborhood or in a city. And if we actually include demonstration projects as part of the public process, then we're able to, meet people where they already are in their daily lives. And again, it remains a whole lot less abstract, and it doesn't require somebody taking time out of their very, very busy schedule. And I think that's particularly important for people who are, who are working very long hours or working multiple shifts or just don't have time or even the interest to be involved civically in the decisions that get made at the city level, but also impact them.
What are the limitations to this approach when it comes to revitalizing a city?
There are a lot of them. It won't tackle every equity issue. It's not going to, build us new rail lines and deal with big infrastructure challenges. It's really well suited and well scaled for more neighborhood concerns. Of course, it can have a bigger impact when the city gets a hold of these ideas and makes the changes at that level. But the initial intent is to create change where we notice it most, which is in our neighborhoods and at the block and street scale, building scale. And, another, I think, limitation is that who is doing these tactical urbanism projects? Who can feel comfortable going out in the middle of the night and doing something that's technically illegal and get away with it? And so in that, I think you have a lot of cultural and race and class challenges that tactical urbanism cannot fully overcome. I wish it could solve that, but it doesn't.